This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 28th day of July, 2021. It's late. It's confusing. I don't know what's happening. Neither do you. And neither does Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, but we're going to talk about what we don't know that's happening in the world of baseball, of which by the time I hit publish on this episode, all the news will be obsolete because that's how fast the news is coming at us. This show is available on the free and easy to use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you happen to be smart enough to have a smart device at home, maybe in your car, maybe on your unicycle, be sure to tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And hey, why not Locked On Pirates with Ethan Smith? You can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter, same handle on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let me pull back the curtain here. It is right now in Los Angeles County, 10:52 in the p.m. on the 27th day of July, and I realize I need to do a Locked On MLB podcast, and the news cycle is just absolutely like a strobe light right now. It's so confusing and fast, and I sent out a message, a flare, a plea for help. A message in a bottle, as Sting would say, to my fellow Locked On host to say, hey, who's awake? I got to talk to someone about this, and I don't have the energy to do this by myself. And guess what? Ethan Smith, who I believe is in Dublin, Ireland right now, or he's so far away, he should be asleep, but because he's significantly younger than me, he's awake, said, I'm up. Ethan, how are you?
I'm good. I finally have convinced a friend of mine and his parents to finally get into American Horror Story. So that's what I was watching with them before you sent that you up text, as the kids would say. But we were watching some of the new stuff. But yeah, I agree. This entire news cycle has been absolutely insane. And part of the reason that I'm awake is because the Pirates decided to make the dreaded move of making a trade with a West Coast team for the second time this week at the dead of night. And half of Pirates Twitter was awake, half of it wasn't. So I'm sure some people will be waking up to this podcast actually thinking this is breaking news to them.
Yeah. Well, first of all, listen, because you and I were talking about this before we hit record on this podcast. There was a strange series of events that happened really within just an hour or so of each other. And that is the first thing that happened was that Kendall Graveman, who just the night before got the save in that dramatic Seattle victory against Houston, and the Mariners crawled to within five games of the West, but within one game of a wild card spot. And remember, Seattle is going through the single longest playoff drought of any baseball team, I think ever, maybe, or at least since the... I hate to break it to you, the Pirates between Francisco Cabrera and the wildcard team in 2013. Either way, they suddenly traded Kendall Graveman for Abraham Toro, an infielder, and it was actually a four-player trade. I mean, Abraham Toro was a highly touted prospect for a while, but they traded away Rafael Montaro, who they were trying to get rid of anyway. They got back Joe Smith, who is a very exotic name, and Abraham Toro, who was a coveted prospect a few years ago, and they gave up their closer. And as you said, all of not just Mariners Twitter, but evidently the Mariners themselves were incensed. Like, this seemed like a waving the white flag when they're literally one game out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I mean, you were also correct. They do have the longest standing playoff drought right now in MLB at 19 years. The last time the Mariners were in the playoffs, Sully, not to make you feel old, was when I was four.
Oh, God.
So the next closest one, ironically, which involves the Pirates today, too. This is very funny. Last night, the Pirates dealt with a lot. And it was very funny that the two teams that have the two longest standing droughts in the playoffs in baseball were involved in this. That's the Phillies and the Mariners.
Is that so weird that the Phillies are the second longest? Because it doesn't seem that long ago that they were on the verge of a dynasty. And now they're on a, not just a playoff drought, but a not even above 500 drought.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nuts because, I mean, 3 years ago, if you would have asked me the Phillies getting Bryce Harper, if that was, I don't even remember, like 3 years ago, but whenever they did get Bryce Harper, you have to think about this from the logical standpoint of how most baseball fans felt. They're probably like, well, they threw him his life savings for the next 300 years.
Yeah.
You would think that they would be at least a playoff team at some point, right? But I mean, I guess when your bullpen can't save anything for at all, like, it's kind of difficult to do that.
Okay, so let's just go back up for 1 second. The Astros acquired Graveman. So suddenly the Astros made, in exchange for Toro, who is a talented young player, but really doesn't have a role on that Astros team. And so the Astros improved their bullpen, and I think it pretty much solidified that they are, for a minute there, it looked like there was some weakness in the team and maybe the A's could take advantage of it. I think the Astros are at a point now where it'll take a major collapse to prevent them from winning the West. I still think the A's are going to make the postseason as one of the wildcard teams, but this may be the thing that basically puts the foot down and solves that hole. The Mariners taking away from their bullpen was a mess. Earlier today, we saw that Tyler Anderson from your Pirates was to be traded within state. He was going to be gone. Tyler Anderson, who will have you tell us a little more about him, but he is a former first round pick of Colorado, who is having a better year than a casual glance at his stats would indicate. He's playing for a not very good Pittsburgh team, and he has a lot of very good peripheral stats that would, if you're, again, if you're just looking at the traditional stats and trying to say, oh, does he have a lot of wins? There's a super low ERA, ton of strikeouts? No, but he's a talented pitcher who is effective and also an innings eater, big time innings eater. And he's the type of pitcher that I thought was going to be ideal on Oakland or Tampa, who have like the top pitchers and they just need to have that person in the middle of it. Instead, he was going to go to Philadelphia. And then what the heck happened? you're here to help me, because I'm confused, because I went out this afternoon to do some chores thinking that he was a Philly, and when it was over, he was a Mariner.
Yeah, so basically from what I was getting is what happened is we were going to get two prospects back from this trade. I'm going to be honest, I've forgotten their names already. I will be honest, I'm kind of unprepared, but it's okay. So what happened was, is apparently one of the guys' medicals was not coming back correctly. So they said, well, we feel like we might have a better deal in place. So this was like a 3-hour arc. This was like watching a movie on Twitter. Is every other person is saying, oh, this is going on, this is what's going on. Like Jeff Passan comes in, he says, okay, the Phillies, this deal might be off. Ken Rosenthal, the deal may still be on. You're like, oh my God, like what's going on? It's like going through a freaking chat forum about a video game and one person has an opinion, this and this. So then all of a sudden, Jeff Passan tweets again, and he said, oh, the Mariners are getting Tyler Anderson. And I'm just like, who's had a more confusing trade deadline? The fact that the Yankees, who traded also with the Pirates for Clay Holmes, traded away a reliever to the Reds, who, in my opinion, was better than Clay Holmes. But then you have the Mariners, who traded a closing pitcher who is ridiculously good, and then they trade for Tyler Anderson. Why not keep Graveman and then trade for Anderson? That would have made so much sense here. And you said that he's an innings eater, which I love, because somebody tweeted out today, and I also researched it myself to make sure it's correct. Anderson has a 4.35 ERA this year in 18 games. All 18 games that he has pitched in and appeared in this year, he has pitched at least five innings. So that's insane. Like, I mean, there's not a lot of guys right now that can give you five innings of good pitching. And yeah, whatever. He's lost eight games, but not one pitcher on the Pirates has a winning record right now except Max Kranich. And Max Kranich has appeared in two games.
And you're asking him to eat innings for basically 2 months. You're not asking him to be Clayton Kershaw in his prime or Greg Maddux in his prime. You're asking to be a back of the rotation guy who isn't going to blow out the bullpen, that you don't have to pull. You don't have to say, oh God, how are we going to get five or six innings out of our pen today? That he's going to grind out some games and maybe gut out some games that you, if you have a better offense and if you have a decent pen, he will do the job for you, which makes the dealing of Graveman even more bizarre. Like you just said, like, wait a minute. Well, I mean, in one sense, these trades are not made in vacuums. And so they got Tyler Anderson and Toro in exchange for Graveman and a guy who they, and Joe Smith. So they figure, okay, we got Anderson, Toro, and Smith in exchange for Graveman and the kid that they DFA'd and whomever they sent to Pittsburgh. But it's weird. It's weird. And it's the sort of thing that, if nothing else, it allows people to sort of talk about it and have some chatter. And the sort of thing that, you know, we talk about in a podcast, and I'm sure audience members would love to talk about, like in Green Room. And Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders, people like Ethan and myself. Huh? It's the perfect place to join the conversation and try to figure out who the heck is on the Mariners and who's been traded to the Phillies. And I told you what I was off doing today. I was getting my physical for my new job so I can be traded. I passed my physical. Now, that sort of observation you can get from Locked On hosts like us, and you can hear a talk about all sorts of sports thing on Green Room. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you're going to find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite leagues and teams. I can't wait to join you on the app. Ethan, do you do the Green Rooms?
Yes, I pop in there usually on Sundays. That's usually my universal day off from work. So Sundays are usually the day where I kind of recap the week and get everything in on there. So you guys can always check me out at Locked On Pirates on Spotify Green Room.
I've popped onto one of your rooms, right? I've done that. I jump in from time to time. I hop in, I give my wisdom, and I get the heck out, because that's what I do and how it rolls with Green Room. All right. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room is changing the way we talk about sports.
Now, Sully, do you want to know why baseball is great?
I have some theories, but I want to hear your theories.
So Kevin Gorman, who is one of the writers for the Pittsburgh Pirates, tweeted out an hour ago, which is great. In 2019, the Pirates signed Jordan Lyles to a one-year, $2.5 million deal, traded him at the deadline to the Brewers for Cody Ponce. 2 years later, they signed Tyler Anderson to a one-year, $2.5 million deal, scratched him from a start against the Milwaukee Brewers for a deadline trade, and Ponce pitched five innings. Crazy how things come full circle over a course of 2 years.
Yeah, and the Hakuna Matata, it is the circle of life, and I will not sing either of those songs because I don't want to get the Locked On Podcast Network in any sort of legal trouble with Disney. Okay, the Pirates got Joaquin Tejada. Yeah. Hakuna Matata, Joaquin Tejada. He is a 17-year-old. He's younger than you.
Yep.
He's a 17-year-old pitcher from Panama who is currently playing in, I believe, playing in the Dominican League.
Yes, he's in a rookie ball at the moment.
Yeah,
in
Dominican. He's 1 year older than my kids. Okay. And Carter Binns, who make the finest waste baskets in all of Seattle. Go to Carter Binns for your waste basket needs. He is playing in Everett right now. I believe that's, are they the Everett Blue Sox now? Or the Aqua Sox that has
what a name.
And it's a cool name. And it's where they have the frog logo. Oh, actually, no, he's been promoted. He's playing in Arkansas. Just Arkansas, just general. In Little Rock, Arkansas, the Arkansas Travelers. So there you go. He's on one of those two teams. It's actually unclear when you go to baseballreference.com, single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. But there you go. You got Tyler Anderson, and you got two very young players who are thrown into the mix there. One of them should still be in high school, and the other is named Carter Binns. Okay. Now let's just talk about a couple other things. You were on Locked On Yankees. It was a really fun episode that you and Stacy Gotsoulias did. And you talked a little bit about the trade that took place between the Yankees and the Pirates regarding what was who was the trade involved with again there?
Clay Holmes was sent to the Yankees for Diego Castillo, not the Rays Diego Castillo, as I formerly did on Twitter by accident, and right. Hoy Park. Now, yeah. Stacy mentioned it was very funny that Yankees Twitter got very upset that Hoy Park got traded, and he actually already played for us tonight in Indianapolis for the Indians, which was very interesting. I'm waiting for the Indianapolis Indians, a AAA affiliate of the Pirates, to change their name to the Indianapolis Guardians, by the way.
That's
just waiting for that to happen. But yeah, that trade also went down as well. And Holmes is also another good guy that's going to help the Yankees in some ways, because as she mentioned, the Yankees pitching has struggled a lot against right-handed batters. Holmes is only surrendering a .173 average against right-handed hitting this year. So that should help a lot.
It is a good strikeout to innings ratio. And it's also another arm. I don't know how scientific this is, but I always think that if you have a player who is in sort of a stagnant situation, maybe there's something to throwing them into a postseason situation for the first time. I mean, you're not acquiring Clay Holmes as a blockbuster. You're acquiring Clay Holmes for depth. And we've seen over the last month and a half, the Yankees have had five gut punch losses that if three of them went the other way, they'd be in a very different spot. It helped matters for them that Chapman looked very, very good tonight. Green still looked terrible tonight, but Chapman, save for one weird walk, like he was throwing these high fastballs that nobody could hit, and then he started nibbling to Wander Franco, who also should still be in high school, and walked him to face Nelson Cruz. And I thought, like, oh, here we go. He's going to let up another home run to Nelson Cruz. But he wound up striking out Cruz. And it kind of – he looked like, save for that one weird at-bat against Franco, he looked like the Aroldis Chapman from the first third of the season. And having someone like Holmes, it takes a little pressure off of the Greens and the Loaizacas, who – have just been beleaguered. It is funny when Yankee fans and people are so salivating over a prospect who they've never seen play and basically could amount to something, could amount to nothing. But the guy, did he have a position to play with the Yankees? Probably not at this point. I mean, they're not going to move Torres, and they're not going to move Rougned Odor. They're not going to move Gio Urshela. They're not going to move DJ LeMahieu. So where the hell was he going to play?
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well flip him for a pitcher who could give him some depth. I mean, I think it was a smart trade on both sides.
Yes, very much so. And the thing is with Hoy Park too, as again, Stacy mentioned, because she watched a lot more Yankees baseball than I do. Castillo, of course, is the younger of the two. Hoy Park is a more MLB ready guy. Yeah. But when he was up with the Yankees earlier in the year, he only played like one game, and that was back in July, or that was back in April or May against the Red Sox. So he hasn't really played that much.
No.
For us, though, I mean, the Pirates in a different situation, we're just looking for guys that are going to get on hot streaks and give you some decent baseball. And right now, obviously, that's not happening. I think they just lost their 62nd game. I kind of lose track at this point. But, I mean, again, even before this, the Adam Frazier trade, I was watching the Padres game tonight. They put him in left field. He was batting leadoff. I believe he had two hits, caught the final ball to seal the Padres' win against the Athletics. Looks like it's working out for them already.
Yeah. So where are they playing Adam Frazier?
They're playing him in left field at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's funny because I just think of him as an infielder. I guess he does play a little bit of the outfield too, and I guess that's – they didn't acquire him for his glove. They clearly acquired him for his bat. So, Yeah, I was a little surprised when that trade was – when the Adam Frazier trade was made, because I thought, like, they already have Cronenworth. He's already – they already have an all-star at second base. Where the hell are they going to play him? But, like, no, stick him out in the outfield. They need his bat.
Yeah, well, I have heard they are trying to save some money and potentially trade Eric Hosmer.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, who's going to really want to take that contract, one? But two, there's a very scary reality to this trade that if that does happen, you move Cronenworth to first, which he's capable of doing, the Padres would be sporting an outfield of four All-Stars from the NL All-Star game with Machado, Tatis, Frazier, and Cronenworth.
Yeah.
That's very insane.
I'm sure they would love to trade Hosmer, but I don't think that's going to happen. One of the reasons why the trade deadline moments like this are such a strange time to want to go to bed, because you see something like the Reds and the Yankees made a trade like about it was like 20 minutes ago. It was so surreal that Luis Sessa, who pitched pretty well a couple of days ago, and Justin Wilson, so two members of that beleaguered Yankee bullpen, have been traded for a player to be named later with the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Reds are probably going to have a winning season. The Reds are probably going to be like an 83-84 win team, but not really be in the wild card hunt, because the four teams out here in California are just so good. They're all going to be 90, you know, mid 90 to 100 win teams, and the Brewers aren't going anywhere. So the Reds really aren't going to do piddly poo, but it'll probably be good for the culture and to build moving forward to have another winning season and to build upon that. And maybe having a couple of pitchers to give them some bullpen depth would go a long way. But this is clearly a trade that's made. Obviously, they're making a little bit of room for the deal they just made with Pittsburgh for reliever, but this is we're setting something up. Something else is going to happen.
And the crazy part about Wilson, by the way, is he's also a former Pirate who was indicative in a very big part of the bullpen that we had in that 2013 through 2015 era. Mm-hmm. Played a ton of games in Pittsburgh while he was there, 136 appearances, under 3 ERA while he was there, so... Pirates everywhere, all over the place.
It's you know, that's how you enjoy October, is by looking around and saying, you know what, we're you know, you're not going to win a championship, but you can maybe see one of your players win a championship, and then you say, well, how am I going to celebrate that? Am I going to go out to dinner? Am I going to spray champagne? Or here's what I would suggest you do. You grab a Built Bar, because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars ever. They've got so many delicious flavors. What's your favorite flavor of Built Bar?
Probably cookies and cream, honestly. That's a great one.
That's a great one. I love the German chocolate one. All the flavors are great. Salted caramel, strawberry, orange, double chocolate, mint brownie, cherry barcia, coconut. But my favorite is raspberry. I love the raspberry covered in chocolate. I love that combination of the tangy with the sweet. I think it works great. And how it's done with the Built Bar tastes so good. So good. But we all have our favorites. But here's the deal, Ethan Smith. I don't know if you're aware of this, But Built Bars are not just the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging from 130 to 180. Only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. Only 4 or 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get the Grasshopper Cookie. Have you tried that one? Oh, that's good. That is a really good one. By the way, hey, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. I think that's pretty neat. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. That's BuiltBar.com. All right, I have a theory. I'm going to throw a theory out. This is based upon no research and no insiders, okay? But here's my wild prediction that I'm going to make here. And this occurred to me while I was saying the live read for the Built Bars. Max Scherzer is going to be traded. I think that Max Scherzer, there's a possibility that Scherzer could be traded and then he goes back to Washington as a free agent. This could be one of the few times that something like that happens. Okay. But I think he's going to be traded because the Nats realize, obviously, with Strasburg taking his season-ending injury, they're going to trade everything that isn't nailed down. And just Rizzo is thanking the gods above that Howie Kendrick hit that home run and they were able to win a World Series under his watch. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the Dodgers are done with this whole Trevor Bauer circus. I'm not even going to get into what he did or did not do. I'm not even going to go into what is happening in his suspension or investigation or anything like that. I'm just saying that the Dodgers are probably looking up saying, we made a mistake. This is a circus. This is a zoo. We're trying to win another championship. We don't want to deal with this. And they may say, F it, we're the Dodgers. We can afford it. We don't want you here anymore. This isn't going to work. This is going to be, if you come back, it's going to be all the wrong attention. We're trying to catch up with San Francisco. We don't want to also have to deal with this. That, and there's already talk that the players are like, I don't know if we want to deal with this. Like, nobody wants to deal with this. The Dodgers say, okay, we push the defending Cy Young Award winner out to the street and we bring in Max Scherzer to take his spot in the rotation. And it's an easier pill for everyone to swallow because no one has an issue with Scherzer, Hall of Famer, champion, Cy Young Award, all this stuff, and that he's just a rental, so he's not a long-term thing. And you say, we're going to get Bauer out of here and bring Scherzer in. I have nothing. I have no inside information. Nothing to say that this is actually happening, except the rumblings that the Dodgers are rolling their eyes at this whole thing, and Scherzer wants to be traded to a West Coast team. So those two facts make me think, well, it's easier to push Bauer out the door if we're going to replace his spot with Scherzer. Thoughts? Discuss.
One, Trevor Bauer should never play baseball again.
Agreed.
Just that, again, we won't get into it too much, but that is where I'm at on that.
Yep.
Two, I agree 100% that replacing a guy who, to me, from the public eye and the I cover baseball eye, is better than Trevor Bauer, period. Mm-hmm. And three, again, as you mentioned, we've seen it. I've seen it being a Pittsburgh fan. Steelers way back, like quote unquote, 4 or 5 years ago when they had the whole fiasco with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. They didn't want to deal with it anymore, shipped him out of town, replaced him with James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, kept him afloat. Dodgers is a little different here. Max Scherzer, you would immediately insert him in there. You create a four-headed monster, pretty much a 5-6-headed monster, especially when you start getting some of these guys healthy. And it allows you to push for defending your World Series, as you said, with no hard pill to swallow. This isn't the Matrix. This isn't hard. Just pick the right pill. Right. The one pill says trade for Max Scherzer, even if it I've seen this trade theorized already. Even if it does cost you Kybert Ruiz, which could hurt a little bit, but Will Smith, not that Will Smith, as you like to always say, is a good catcher already. So Ruiz would hurt to lose, but if you're getting Max Scherzer and it wins you another World Series, does it really hurt that much? No.
No.
So
and what it does, this amazing run that Los Angeles has had of winning every single National League West since 2013, it's like the one thing that the Braves didn't do during their great run was win that second title. Okay. And this, and it almost becomes a stain on the Braves' legacy, which I think is ridiculous, but it's still there. Like, oh, they made the playoffs every year they had a postseason from 91 until 91 through 2005. You have to phrase it like that because there was no playoff in 94. But they only won it once. I'm thinking, well, I'm sure as a Pirate fan, you would have loved to have only won it once during a stretch of time. But that being said, if they had won that second one, then people look at the run that the Bochy Giants had probably with more reverence than the run that the Bobby Cox Braves had, because they won multiple titles. Same with Terry Francona winning multiple titles with Boston. And I think that, and La Russa winning multiple titles with St. Louis. I think if you have that second title that sort of almost legitimizes it as a great run, as a great, you know, as an all-time run, and to give up a catcher to bring in Scherzer and avoid the Bauer fiasco, which of course there's a little bit of hypocrisy because they still have Julio Urias, who also has, let's just be kind, a checkered past as well. But you have a rotation with Urias, with Buehler, with Gonsolin. When Kershaw comes back, you have your fifth starter swingman is David Price, who's also been a Cy Young Award winner. The depth of that is so crazy that, you know, look at the Giants dumped Melky Cabrera in a year where he was an all-star because he did PEDs. The Red Sox cut Pablo Sandoval because he was fat. You know, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, you can make the right decision to move forward, especially if it's going to help you win a championship like those teams did. And to say, do you what, Bauer, you're a talented pitcher, but you're not worth all this. You're still going to get paid all your money. So get out, kick rocks. We're replacing you with Scherzer. We're going to win a title. And I think that the Dodgers get to look good in that and still probably, you know, go super far in October.
Yeah, and it's also indicative of the fact that, as you mentioned, with the two championships, obviously last year we got to see four championships as always in the four major sports: Kansas City, Tampa Bay Lightning, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Dodgers. That was what happened in 2020. 2021 comes around. Obviously, the Buccaneers win the NFL or the Super Bowl, so you don't see the Chiefs repeat. The Lakers get bounced in the first round. People call them bubble champions, so that's been a big deal. The Lightning repeat, so they took off that bubble championship resume that they had from last year and removed it and won it again. So if you're looking at the Dodgers right now and you look at what just happened here in Tampa Bay, well, I'm not in Tampa Bay, but what happened with the Lightning here and the Buccaneers winning it, why would you not want to repeat and have a good track record of doing so? Because 10 years from now, you could be looking back as, oh, why didn't the Dodgers repeat? Why did they only win when they were in front of fans at Globe Life Park rather than winning game seven, say, if it was on the road for some reason in Boston or on the road somewhere else? Why couldn't you handle the pressure there? That's how I kind of look at it. And again, Max Scherzer's only going to be here this year. It's still going to cost a lot, but you're the freaking Dodgers, for Christ's sake.
And you're getting Max Scherzer out of it. Yeah. It costs a lot, but you're not getting, you know, I'm sorry, don't take this the wrong way, but you're, it's not like you're getting Tyler Anderson.
No.
You're getting Max Scherzer, a first ballot Hall of Famer with
season
experience, who isn't even asked to be the number one starter. He's arguably be your number three if Kershaw is healthy. I mean, Buehler is right now pitching as their number one, But I mean, like, think about you're not asking him to do anything other than to get the bad taste of the whole Bauer situation out of your mouth. Yep. And also, there will inevitably be people who look at the title that this Los Angeles team did win last year with a certain asterisk. I don't, because in a way, they had to run through a bigger gauntlet. They had to beat Milwaukee, San Diego, Atlanta, and Tampa in order to win the World Series. Granted, San Diego was a shell of their former self because they had so many injuries in that series. But Atlanta was tough. Atlanta had a lead in Game 7. And the Rays were one boneheaded decision to lift Snell away from pushing that to a seventh game. Yep. And if it gets to a Game 7, then that's, by all definition, is a coin toss. So I don't look at it as an asterisk series. But I'm sure people would. And it's kind of like, if they win it again, it's like, okay, what do you know, you can't say anything bad about us. It's almost like the, you know, like when the Rockets won their second NBA title, you know, those 2 years that Jordan was gone. But yeah, they won the one title, but then they won it again. It sort of legitimized it in a way. And, you know, I know it's strange to cross-pollinate different sports championships, but you know what I mean, that to win a title for 162, it's funny, you think about you have the Dodgers won the World Series in the split season year of 81, where they won fewer games than the Reds, the Reds didn't even make the playoffs, but the Reds won more games than the Dodgers because of how the 81 was. So there's a weird stigma about that title. And then there's a weird stigma about last year because it was only a 60 game season. So to win a stigma free title would go a long way for the LA Dodgers.
Yeah. And then you also, here's a familiarity factor. You literally saw the guy 2 years ago pitch against you and win the World Series against you. It's not like it's something that you haven't seen. The guy literally prevented you from winning a non-stigma title.
Yeah. Well, that 2019 team, of which I attended, it's funny, I attended game one of the division series in Los Angeles as a guest of Sean Doolittle. And I watched the game with Aaron Dolan, Sean Doolittle's wife, who's been a guest on the show. Sean's been a guest on the show. And so I'm like, okay, I'm sitting in the Nationals family section with a free ticket to see a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to root for the Nationals. I don't want to sit amongst the wives and families and go like, no, Dodgers, you know, that's bad form. But in that opening game, LA smacked the Nationals around. And I remember looking around at the family section of the Nationals and thought like, well, at least you won the wild card game. You know, mm-hmm. but I thought this Dodger team is going to steamroll to the National League pennant and probably clobber whomever they face. And if you had told me then that Nationals team was going to go on to win the World Series against that Dodger team who won 100 some odd games that year and looked unstoppable, you know, it's one of those like, The teams that win the World Series are not always the best ones of the run. Like the 2011 Phillies were so much better than the 2008 Phillies, but the 2008 Phillies won. You know, the 95 Braves were by far not the best team of that Bobby Cox run. The 93 Braves were an all-time team, and they didn't make it to the World Series. And there was a couple of years under Joe Torre where the Yankees – were okay, the 98 team was their best one, but they had a couple other years where you look up and go like, wow, how did that team not make it to the World Series? And yeah. So this Dodger team, they may only be a wild card this year if the Giants keep doing what they did last night and the Dodgers handed them another win. But I still would pick LA in a short series, especially if they have that kind of a rotation. And this is, of course, based on no inside information, nothing. It's just my own personal theory about what could happen. So, by the way, I just want to say one other thing, Ethan Smith, here before we wrap up here. While I went on that little rant, I refreshed MLB trade rumors four times just to see if anything else happened.
I honestly, recording this, and yeah, you guys can know, it's 2:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. If the stars would have aligned and I would have saw something on my phone that said Max Scherzer has been traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers while we were recording this at what would now be, I believe, 11:30 your time.
Yeah, it's 11:30. It's 11:30 in Pasadena, California.
I would honestly tuck myself in bed tonight and literally wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 hours from now, and go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And I would.
Yeah, and I recommend that you do that. I think you should. I absolutely think you should. And, you know, it's funny. The two teams that I think Scherzer would make the biggest difference on would be Oakland and Tampa. I think that you put him on that Oakland staff, suddenly that starting staff with Bassett, with Manaea, with, you know, you'll have the depth on that staff that you suddenly would look up and say, you know, and Frankie Montas, it would be like, wow, this is a real, this could go far if they win the wild card. I don't think they're going to catch Houston, but I think if they win the wild card, and I think Tampa, who I think could very well pass the Red Sox, you saw this. I've had a couple of Tampa conversations on the show recently that removing Tyler Glasnow from that rotation was a little bit like the wrong Jenga piece. Like they went on a big, big spiral when Glasnow was gone because you no longer had that ace in the middle of the staff that allowed them to do the things like the openers and have bullpen games. And I think Scherzer could just slip right in there and be involved with that. But I do think that if he wants to go to a California team, you have the three, you have the King Ghidorah, and that's for you Godzilla fans out there. You have the King Ghidorah in California with the three playoff teams, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego. I think he's going to wind up going to one of those teams. And suddenly that whichever one of those teams gets him is they're going to get Max Scherzer. I mean, what else is there to say? What else is there to say? So I know what else is there to say. Ethan Smith, look at that. We just did a podcast. You and I just did a podcast in the middle of the night. And I don't know about you. This was stream of consciousness for me. I'm not using notes on this one. And I had a lot of fun. Thanks for being awake.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll probably be awake for another half hour after this, too, just because I'm going to be refreshing Twitter to see if Scherzer gets traded to the Dodgers.
You know, this is not quite the same stakes, but it's kind of reminds me of like election night when you're just sort of you're refreshing, trying to see what's happening in Georgia and everything like that. This has just been a lot of fun. Where can people listen to your show?
Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Pirates or on my personal at MVP_Ethan. Our podcast, of course, is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey. Basically, wherever you can find podcasts, if you have a phone, if you're smart, like your smartphone, you will listen to everything going on. As I actually do have a special guest tomorrow that I'm keeping a secret until tomorrow, and it's actually making my listeners very upset. So it's going to be very fun to see how they respond to who I have on the podcast on Thursday.
Well, I hope your guest isn't traded to the Seattle Mariners, surprisingly, in the middle of the night.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
For everyone else, you can follow us on the free and easy to use Odyssey app and follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on both Twitter and on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Looking at the bizarre, constantly spinning world of baseball at the dawn of the trade deadline, Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates. This has been Locked On MLB. For the 28th day of July, 2021. This will probably be obsolete by the time I hit publish. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. NBA Draft, go Chad Ford. Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow and Locked On NBA host John Krause will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on the YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.